Hello, my name is Francis Pinder, and you are watching or listening, perhaps, to the Salesforce Posse podcast, where I speak with Salesforce industry influencers so we can gain a better understanding of how to excel in a career path from a Salesforce admin or developer to an architect. But before we start, I'm on a little bit of a mission to prove that there is an inner Salesforce architect in all of us. And I'm trying to debunk the myth that being a Salesforce architect is purely about understanding the technical aspects of Salesforce. So if you head to salesforceposse.com/scorecard, you can score yourself against a free scorecard that measures yourself against the key skills that a Salesforce architect needs and needs to be successful. And it also gives you personalized feedback at the end. So if you're an admin and developer and interested in going down the track or not, and just want to see where your skills lie, then definitely check it out at salesforceposse.com/scorecard. But back to the show. And in this conversation, I'm going to be talking with Lawrence Newscombe, who is a lead technical architect and CTA at giveclarity.org. And he's been working in the nonprofit and charity sector for many years. Now, I wanted to pick his brains on the world of nonprofits, how they use Salesforce, and what is the Salesforce ecosystem is like, and how it's going to be progressing in the next couple of years. So if you're interested in getting a nonprofit job or learning more about nonprofits and the future of this sector, then I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this conversation with Lawrence. So without further ado, let's go. So hello, Lawrence. Welcome to the Salesforce Posse podcast.
Hello.
First question up, I think, is basically, how do you get into the Salesforce ecosystem in the first place?
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Francis. So I've been in the Salesforce world for, I think, almost exactly 10 years at the moment. So my first role was actually with a nonprofit. So I somehow managed to work exclusively with nonprofits since I've been in Salesforce space. So my first role was with a global volunteering organization. And at the time, I'd never heard of Salesforce, the sort of classic thing of turn up for the interview, thinking, oh, nonprofit, brilliant. This is just where I want to be. I was working as a business analyst at the time, sort of had a few years working for sort of large corporate organization. And yeah, just sort of really keen to make the switch, do something, yeah, more rewarding, really, at a high level.
Yeah, cool. So it's a bit of a double whammy. So it's a nonprofit and that you'd never worked for. Before a nonprofit, as well as working in Salesforce, never before.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So, how did you get to find the job? Was it just you applied for it, and
more or less? Yeah. It was there's a charity jobs board. I was sort of regularly kind of perusing for business analyst roles, and yeah, it just came up, and it seemed like the perfect thing for me. Really, yeah. As I say, no idea what technology was involved. I wasn't actually a particularly kind of technical person at the time. And it's really sort of through Salesforce that I've, yeah, sort of had exposure to, yeah, sort of the platform itself, as well as kind of working with the platform from the perspective of requirements and strategy.
Okay. So for those who have no idea, what is a nonprofit or a charity? And is there any difference, or is it just same thing? What is it?
A very good question. So there probably is a technical difference. So a charity is sort of generally registered with the Charity Commission, I believe, at least in the
UK. Yeah.
Yeah. So each country sort of typically has its own way of sort of classifying what sort of a registered nonprofit organization is. So yeah, it's about nonprofits come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And there's also a lot of organizations that look and act and work a lot like a nonprofit that are technically not nonprofits. So actually an organization that I worked for a number of years were operating for part of that time as a community interest company, which effectively means a company but with sort of a social agenda. So yeah, very sort of similar in I suppose aims and approach as a nonprofit, but not sort of technically falling in that category.
So why do charities and nonprofits use Salesforce then?
all sorts of reasons, I think, is the short answer.
Like every company in the world uses it for all kinds of reasons, right?
Exactly. Most of the reasons that companies would choose to use Salesforce, plus some that are sort of more a bit more specific to the sector. So there's a few sort of areas that you tend to see nonprofits sort of looking to address with Salesforce platform that kind of come up that come up a lot as somebody who works with nonprofits. So broadly, fundraising is something we see a lot of, and actually the organization I work for at the moment is a partner that specializes in fundraising implementations. So that's all about organizations managing relationships with their donors and recording information about donations that are secured and captured from those donors. So that can be sort of individual giving, kind of mass market donations, can be sort of institutional donations and sort of major donations from individuals, private sector donations. Each of those sort of has their own kind of flavor of how they're sort of typically managed on the platform. But yeah, fundamentally, fundraising is sort of a big thing. Then program management is another kind of big area. So organizations really using the platform to structure the information about programs that they are.
So programs as in like the their projects and the things they're actively doing, right, as part of the charity?
Yeah, exactly. So it might be an initiative in a particular country, in a specific context with a set of defined aims that are often sort of recorded on the platforms. So it might be that there are a set of sort of planned outcomes for this program. So perhaps it's a healthcare program, might be a specific number of vaccinations or a particular number of individuals that organization is looking to benefit from the program. So being able to kind of record at a high level and sometimes at a really granular level what those outcomes and ambitions are.
And linking those to the volunteers that are supporting it and running it, if they are volunteers doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sort of the management of resources for those programs, sort of the financial aspects, kind of how that links up with funding and particularly restricted funding. So funding that's given for particular purposes. So yeah, all of that kind of process. And then the actually sort of the output measuring and capturing the outcomes of the program as well and sort of driving the.
So what are the tools in the Salesforce ecosystem that nonprofits typically use, or from your experience, I suppose?
Yeah, great question. So the one that you probably see the most of is products published by Salesforce.org called Nonprofit Success Pack, which is a sort of quite an extensive pack is a bit of an understatement. But yeah, it's sort of a whole operating environment really for...
Because it's still kind of group packages still. I haven't used it for years.
So yes, Salesforce.org publish a number of different packages, of which MPSP is kind of a core one, but there are other packages published by .org that sort of sit either kind of alongside MPSP as extensions or as potentially standalone packages. So so program management module, for example, which is sort of, yes, specialized on that program's program delivery and the coordination side.
Because I think it's a donation management, I think, was a separate thing. Is that part of it as well? I think there's so many different parts, isn't it, that you can kind of pick, mix and match to what you want to use.
Donation management is generally sort of part of the core MPSP package. MPSP itself sort of includes the functionality for managing donations, sort of generally through opportunities, recurring donations, payments.
Cool. So what about on the wider? Because like, I work for a nonprofit and outside it looked like they were just a commercial company, right? And actually, no, they were a charity, sorry, not a nonprofit. And it was quite interesting because they didn't use NPSP because it was just not really relevant to them. But they did use a lot of, the core platform. They did lots of training. And they did stuff for like Olympic Games and all kinds of stuff, right? For training up people. And getting people in work and things like that, and yeah, it was quite interesting because literally, yeah, they didn't. I kind of assumed it would be them using NPSP or using some of the charity donation management tools, and it wasn't anything like that. It's kind of like they had this kind of like semi-commercial end, which was selling these training courses, which then funded all their other work as part of the charity.
Yeah, there's, as I say, there are all sorts of use cases you come across and models of operating that are sort of outside of that, I suppose, those kind of common use cases that are addressed through MPSP and similar and or related.
Yeah, and using kind of just general out-of-the-box commercial tools, right? You know, analytics or cloud or like CRM and all kinds of bits and sales cloud.
Yeah, just to mention, yeah, it's seen quite similar experience really with seeing the platform used, yeah, really as a sort of core sales, core service for an organization that ran a massive youth volunteering program, sort of really about recruitment, sort of generation, lead nurturing and conversion to opportunities, and then service side, so contact center management. Yeah, sort of social engagement, kind of marketing, and yeah, all the sort of the good stuff that's done in the commercial world too. Yeah.
So if I was looking, because I've got a little bit of a bugbear about this, if I was looking, I was new to Salesforce ecosystem, I was looking for experience in the Salesforce ecosystem. I think a lot of people say, hey, go work for a nonprofit. Or charity. What advice would you give somebody who wanted to kind of get some experience?
Yeah, so I think it's absolutely working with a nonprofit is a great way to really sort of contribute, and particularly if you do have the capacity to volunteer your time and sort of provide them something that potentially isn't available to an organization. I think it can work really well. It can also go wrong quite easily, and I think if you speak to anybody who's sort of worked in the sector a while, they'll have a few war stories and anecdotes about what can not work quite so well. I suppose in terms of advice, I've spoken to a few others sort of in the sector as well around what they've seen work too, and I think a theme that sort of has come up a number of times, at least amongst people that I've spoken to, is really about preparedness of sort of both the individual and the organization. So having like a really sort of strong kind of discovery aspect of the engagement, you know, even if it's quite an informal thing, but making sure that it's really clear on both sides what the engagement is about.
What the engagement's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, what the aims are, and the timelines, deliverables, like all the sort of the real classic project management stuff. As an individual volunteering, you know, you're perhaps not volunteering as a project manager, you're perhaps not volunteering as a business analyst, but kind of whatever your role and whatever you're there to contribute, it's important to kind of keep coming back to, you know, why do those roles exist? And it's really about that kind of making sure that the planning process works well and that it's clear to stakeholders and to the people delivering, basically, what's expected and how the work is going to run.
And it's even like how much time you've got to volunteer, right? And work. And the expectation might be that it's full time on one side, but you're thinking, oh, it's only going to be in the evenings every now and again kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, of course, yeah, it's very rare to come across volunteers who have full time every day to contribute. So it's all the more important to really kind of plan how that time's used really well. Because it is often quite limited. So making sure that's sort of optimized and used effectively is really important.
I think it's kind of, you're talking about, you know, the kind of established, well, people that have already got Salesforce, right? And I kind of always say that, yeah, a lot of people say, hey, yeah, go get your experience at a nonprofit. But, you know, actually you can, there is an opportunity there to actually find a local one near to you that has kind of got a small 10 person or, you know, something, you know, small nonprofit, and go, hey, look, like I'm doing this project of learning Salesforce. Could I create it based on the challenges and tracking donations or whatever it may be in your charity? And then it's really low risk because it's like the charity, you know, if everything goes wrong, well, the charity's just not going to use it, right? But you kind of got a real life experience by building it, asking them questions. And really kind of the worst case is they, you know, the charity is investing some of their time to, you know, get the information so you can kind of build it really. And that's the bit that's, you know, the thing that you need, which is always a challenge with small charities, I think. But at the end of it, you know, if you've got something that's going to help them save time and really support the charity, then voila, you know, and Salesforce gives it away, right? 10 users free. So they get it for free as well. So, you know, it kind of is.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely something that can work well, that sort of approach. I suppose, and this is, you know, perhaps not so much advice for the individual as advice for the organization, is that sort of really kind of making sure that as an organization, before going into this process, that it's that your success goals are kind of clear as well. So it's because, you know, I mean, we'll all agree Salesforce is brilliant and it's the right tool for the job. It, you know, there's a lot out there and the needs of organizations are quite varied, and kind of having that sort of digital expertise sort of either available in-house as a charity or potentially sort of through a relationship with trustees or perhaps professional services, or kind of having that sort of, I suppose, kind of independent oversight of the work that a volunteer is doing and delivering is important as well. Because I think sort of seeing a shiny new Salesforce org is easy to get excited about it, but there's quite a lot that really goes into sort of operationalizing that and yeah, really making it successful, getting it right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Completely. So what are the differences between a kind of a small implementation of Salesforce versus kind of these large nonprofit implementations? And what are the kind of different challenges you kind of get between small and large organizations?
Yeah, great question. So I suppose on the smaller side, actually, you alluded to it a moment ago, the 10 free licenses is a, you know, rightly so, it's a really attractive offer for small organizations. And a lot of organizations really kind of start with that. So they've kind of got live with perhaps modest investments. They might not actually have sort of dedicated Salesforce resources sort of in-house. They might perhaps work with a partner or maybe with volunteers. At that sort of scale, it's likely that they'd be looking to do as much as possible out of the box with MPSP or, you know, their kind of chosen configuration with Salesforce. So with that sort of implementation, it's sort of really about trying to kind of make the organization's processes fit as much as possible, really, with how Salesforce works well, sort of out of the box. And there's so much that you can do with MPSP without even creating a single flow or even a single custom field. And really, sort of getting to know the fundamentals of the product are kind of a really important sort of first stage, that kind of level. And then I suppose sort of looking more at the kind of the medium size organizations, then so perhaps there's a, you know, an internal admin or a sort of a regular ongoing relationship with a partner. But yeah, maybe not looking at sort of the scale that you're involving developers, deployment workflows, that sort of thing. Sort of at that stage, kind of looking to sort of enhance and sort of customize what's there out of the box with some of the great automation options that are there kind of in the platform, kind of ready to go. So yeah, starting to sort of introduce flows, sort of screen flows, record trigger flows, perhaps kind of payment tool integrations, sort of things that are really supporting kind of core processes to run more efficiently and more effectively.
Yeah, because I think I run a charity in the UK, or I'm a trustee of a charity, I should say, and actually run it. And I think, yeah, one of those things, classic things, I think that I find is missing for MPSP is the kind of like the gift aid functionality that we have in the UK, where is it 25% or 20% of donations? Something. Yeah, kind of the government basically gives you the money back, right?
Yeah, the tax relief.
Yeah, the tax relief. And so every time somebody does a donation, you need to claim that money back from the government, and having an integration to do that obviously is kind of like core to get realizing that. So if you're using, you know, the donation management, I think that's one thing I think that you almost immediately kind of look at as an extension to the core. And that, you know, that could be just AppExchange, right? AppExchange products rather than actually a developed thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as you say, it's not, I mean, it is quite a UK specific one, that, so it's not sort of built into MPSP. Yeah, as you say, there are AppExchange offerings that kind of make that easier.
Yeah. Do you see, actually, just on the kind of the regulatory front, is there, for those kind of global charities, are there a lot of regulations in the charity world that have to be supported within Salesforce across the world, or is it still more the traditional, you know, GDPR, PII, in those kind of things? Is there always those kind of specific challenges that you have in the sector?
Yeah, so I think kind of regulation-wise, it is, as you say, sort of, yeah, GDPR is sort of generally the, particularly when you're sort of looking at donations and so on, yeah, kind of making sure that the org's sort of used in a GDPR compliant way. I mean, generally sort of larger international organizations will, on the whole, they kind of tend to try to stick to GDPR globally because it's sort of...
just easier.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, there are other relevant regulations, but GDPR kind of typically tends to be sort of the standard that is sort of meets those, the needs of those other regulations globally. I mean, things like PCI compliance. So yeah, being kind of, I mean, ideally, you know, not managing card details on the Salesforce platform, sort of using PCI compliant payment platforms and so on. Yeah. But it's on the whole, regulations wise, it's, yeah, similar challenges as the private sector.
And so do you have the same challenges around kind of workforce and getting staff that is common across the industry? I'm assuming you do, but I just wondered if it's kind of more pronounced in the charity world, or is it easier because everybody wants to work for a charity? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely very similar challenges. And well, at the moment I work for a partner, so the challenges are different in some ways, but I suppose I have experience sort of recruiting for a partner and also recruiting directly for nonprofits themselves. I think recruiting kind of directly into a nonprofit organization, there are the same challenges that you have in the private sector, that there is skill shortages and basically more demand than there are good people for the job. But it's somewhat conflated with many nonprofits can't realistically afford to pay market rates for certain roles. So as a result, the kind of candidates that you typically be sort of talking to, the ideal case really is that you have somebody who is motivated by the sector and is motivated by your cause and has the right skill set. And when you get those two things in combination, it's fantastic. It's brilliant because you end up with highly motivated people. And the financial challenges that many organizations have are lessened.
That's funny. I think it's kind of like you said about the interested in the charity and what the whole goals for it is. And actually, I do remember reading or watching, so I can't remember what it was one charity who was talking about recruitment, and they were also saying that actually they always look for somebody that has an interest but not a kind of obsession, right? So it's the kind of pulled back just a bit, you know, from that kind of obsessive kind of end. I think it was an animal rights or something like that kind of charity where, you know, they have more extreme end of, you know, people wanting to work for them. And actually, in reality, you know, you have to kind of, to get the most out of their animal welfare and everything, you've kind of got to make some kind of compromises to get something. Otherwise, if you just go full hell, you don't get anything, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was quite interesting. So if you were hiring someone, what do you look for? If somebody coming into the, if it's just, okay, an interest in the kind of the charity or the goals that charity is after, but what else do you also look for?
Yeah. So I think it's that kind of combination of somebody who is, you know, right for the particular role. So if we were recruiting an architect, you know, looking for someone who has that right sort of mix of technical, strategic, platform experience, all those things. And then, ideally, you want to be working with people that really care about the sector and are really motivated to deliver value for the kinds of organizations that they're working with. And that's, yeah, that mix is not always possible to get people with who are kind of super strong on those sides. And that's fine. You know, not everybody is motivated by the same things. And, you know, you can work with very highly skilled, capable individuals that are motivated by what they're motivated by, and that's okay as well. But I think that particular mix works really well in the sector because it's, you kind of get that sort of dedication and that desire also to really understand what organizations are about and really kind of get behind their values and their mission as well.
Okay, cool. So, you know, there's a lot of change happening at the moment, obviously with, you know, Salesforce and the tech industry, AI, and all kinds of things kind of going on in the world at the moment as well. Obviously, ongoing wars and things like this. So where do you see kind of the sector and Salesforce in particular around nonprofits and charities going, I suppose? What can you see as the kind of like what's going to be changing either kind of in the near term or kind of longer term?
Yeah. Great question. So there's, I suppose, technology-wise, there's a few sort of shifts that I feel are kind of, we're just at the beginning of at the moment. So just sort of simply within the Salesforce space, Salesforce has recently announced the successor, I believe, to Nonprofit Success Pack. Although, brief caveat that so Nonprofit Success Pack isn't going anywhere, and Salesforce have been really clear that it's going to continue to be supported long term, and there's no need for organizations to look to jump to something else in anytime soon. But Salesforce have announced there is a new nonprofit cloud, and have actually, it's, you can actually now go out and buy Nonprofit Cloud as a platform. And it's effectively, it's kind of being run in a similar way to some of the other industry solutions. So kind of core first party data model together with some of the capabilities that are common to other industry solutions as well. And that's a really, really exciting time for the sector, because as we discussed, NPSP has been sort of such a big part of how organizations sort of work with Salesforce. There are so many advantages to it, but there are various aspects about kind of not so much about how it works or sort of how it's designed, but the fact that it is fundamentally, it's a managed package that sort of runs on top of your Salesforce org. And so automations, for example, are kind of running within your org sort of transaction window, which isn't so much of a problem with sort of smaller data volumes and smaller scale orgs, but gets very challenging. Yes.
Interesting. Okay. So because they're going then creating their own cloud, essentially, you know, some of those back end processes are just pushed to the back or optimized or re-architect in a way that is scalable. And are you seeing that it's kind of like a mirror of NPSP, but kind of a bit of a re-architecture, or is it a complete fresh? Off we go.
So I wouldn't describe it as a mirror quite, but just a caveat with this, this is quite early days. So there's been sort of some elements are now available. So program management, case management, are now GA and available. The fundraising aspects, sort of outcome measurement as well, are coming a bit further down the line. So not quite sure, I suppose, is the short answer on some of that sort of future stuff. But I think the expectation is that it'll be most likely sort of a data model that is perhaps sort of has some things in common with the NPSP and other sort of .org product, a data model, but sort of also kind of reviewed and revisited and rethought and kind of redesigned around the learnings that that Salesforce, I suppose, and the sector as a whole have had in the last few years.
Okay, yeah, sounds promising then.
Very exciting, exciting time.
Cool. Okay, so anything else on the future of the, or even just the industry side? Are you seeing it more challenging for charities generally now, with people tightening their belts?
Yeah, I think kind of more and more and more optimization and sort of using data to really kind of make processes more efficient, to contact the right donors at the right times and contact them with the right tone, you know, is becoming, the level of sophistication around how that is done is only getting better and better.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're even with the AI, you know, AI, which is like, you know, pulling the whole of the internet, right? Just change that eye of Siren to your own data and wow, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, very early days on that side, but I'm sure it's going to be some exciting changes. And just on the, yeah, I suppose sort of some of the Salesforce kind of products that have been kind of growing in the last few months and kind of have real value to the sector. So Data Cloud, sort of Genie.
I think that's something, if you want to get into something, is get into it. It's going to be big, you know. Everybody's now looking at their data, how to do more with less, and really kind of, so I think, yeah, that is a hot area to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. And this sort of more advanced segmentation and correlating individual data from different platforms and, you know, all these sort of things that have just typically been really hard problems in the sector. And the options are only getting better in that space. So
that should be cool. Okay, so. Is there anything else you want to say before I ask the final question?
I guess just to mention, we sort of touched on volunteering a little bit earlier. And just to mention, I'm working for a partner at the moment, and we work exclusively with nonprofits. And we also offer a pro bono program. So if any of your listeners do work for charities that use Salesforce that are interested in pro bono services, do take a look at our website.
So what is your partner's name? What's the company name?
So it's giveclarity.org is the name of the partner.
And if people wanted to contact you, how would they contact you?
So Give Clarity website. So there's a form on there for the pro bono engagement. If anyone wants to contact me personally, do feel free to reach out. I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and all of those places. So yeah, always happy to meet others in the space and yeah, both Salesforce and nonprofit.
Okay. You ready for the final question? Drum roll. Actually, I can do a drum roll in here. Here we go. You ready?
Let's do it.
So I ask this pretty much to everybody. If you could wind back the clock to a point in the past and give yourself advice, what would the advice be and what point in time would it be?
I should have planned this one, shouldn't I? Okay, I think I've got one.
Got you, go on, go.
Okay, so yeah, so I think I would probably dial myself back to, what's the year, 2005-ish, when I graduated from uni.
And put all your money on Salesforce now.
Yeah. And basically just let myself know that actually a career in the nonprofit space is a lot more straightforward to get into than I at the time thought it was. So, I mean, it might sound a bit cliche, but I have always wanted to work in this space. And for a number of years early in my career, didn't really know how to do it. Wasn't really kind of in touch with sort of how to connect to that world, like where you might be able to find jobs or even, you know, what sort of roles charities kind of really need and recruit for. And yeah, I think sort of knowing the sort of skill set that nonprofits might be looking for, at that time might have made me change some of my early career choices.
Okay, cool. And actually also there's a profile, isn't there? The nonprofit profile on Trailhead site of, you know, so you can learn more about that, as well as like community groups. So there's the London nonprofit community group that meets up and, you know, where you can kind of meet up with community members and people in the space to learn a bit more, even if you're just kind of interested in moving into the kind of this sector.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's good to just recognize as, you know, really as a professional working with technology, once you've sort of got a few years under your belt and you kind of know your stuff, it's a great opportunity to sort of to move into the industry that you really care about and find fascinating and, yeah, you know, whatever that is. It's, it's good to keep reminding yourself.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thanks so much for being on the Salesforce Posse podcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did. Thank you so much, Francis, for having me.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, please, 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 if you like or what you see or hear, then please rate this podcast in your podcast player, as it tells me that there are people out there that actually are listening to this and that it's useful to them. Also, it helps the podcast algorithms to kind of elevate the podcast in the different podcast directories, which will be really helpful for me as well. And finally, if you do have a question that you want to ask on the podcast, then head to salesforceposse.com/message and maybe you'll appear in the next podcast. But apart from that, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-ta!